And we're back here at Mornings at McFarland's, and my guests this morning are Mitch Meyer and Julie Roedtke, are both here from the August Judith Society. Mitch has been talking a lot about his other organization, but okay, Mitch, let's segue. We're talking about that a little bit off the air. Let's segue from Mitch, the personal chef, with all this wonderful food and things are going on, to Mitch, the president of the August Judith Society. How does that road happen? How do you get from that place to the other?
In my personal chef business, I was hired by Shar Olson to cater the Christmas party for Merrimack Communications. As I was leaving the facility after I catered the event, she asked me if I would be interested in taking an ad out in the August Judith Society newsletter.
Okay.
I didn't know much about August Judith, just what my folks told me about, and I didn't know anything about the society. And she said, you'd really help the society if you could, do some advertising in there.
Well, and you had to have some familiarity with Augie, having had the Dorff House. And yeah. Was he a patron of the Dorff House back then? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Okay. I see pictures of him at Leistra's, but I don't know.
Dad had a painting of him done one time by the guy that did a lot of the castles at the Dorff House.
Okay.
So I said, okay, I'll take out some advertising. She says it includes membership also. So I go to a couple of meetings, just see what's going on. And then the guy that was the president at the time, Dave Rachel, he stepped down. I get a call one morning from Shar. She says, our president stepped down. What do you think about being the president of the August Judith Society? I said, what? I don't know anything about you guys.
Right.
I barely know anything about the August Judith Society. You want me to be the president? I says, I don't know. Let me think about this. How many times would I have to show up? She said, just 4 times a year. That's all you have to do. Just show up 4 times a year. Oh, okay. Maybe I can do it. Well, it's been more than 4 times a year. It's been quite a transition for me.
You know, there's an old saying by Henry Thoreau that says, if you see a person approaching you with the obvious intent of doing you some good, you should run for your life. And I've always remembered Thoreau, I think, really knew what he was talking about with that. And obviously, but no, you know, there are worse things to get asked to do, I'm sure. But that is interesting.
You know, if I would have known something about August Judith, because it says right here, August Judith liked to fashion his life somewhat after Henry David Thoreau.
Oh, see? Well, Walden West, Fitz. Yeah. So then, Julie, how did you get involved with the organization? You've been with them for quite a long time, right?
I have, almost 20 years.
Okay, holy cow, 20 years. Mm-hmm. So how did that, you had said before when we were on the air that that you knew, actually, it was Augie's daughter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I went to school with April Judith, and I was good friends with her for a lot of years. I spent some time out at Place of Hawks. And, I always was interested in, books. So he had a lot of books out there, and I can even remember when he went mushroom hunting, and there'd be mushrooms hanging in the one area with books on one side and mushrooms hanging all over. So it was kind of interesting as a kid. And he would take me with April, and then Walden, April's brother, and my brother were friends, so we went places with them. And then fast forward to not too many years ago, my husband was the one that was really interested in August Judith, so he dragged me along, and so things went according to plan.
Did your husband have more of a literary background?
Just liked August Judith books.
Okay.
So, and he knew some of the people that were on the board. And
okay.
So they brought us in there, and 20 years just go by. And
it does, doesn't it?
Yes.
So, and you look back and go, oh my gosh, how did that all happen? But, and I have to say, I told you before we went on the air, I think the only things I've read of Augie's were the Walden West piece, which I think that's almost required reading in some areas, at least in some of the classes I took. It was, like the first thing you read in the book, in the course. But then there's a play, and I'm probably getting it right, but it's either like the 5th of July or the 3rd of July that he had, I don't think he even completed, but a number of years ago we did a staged reading of it with, back then it was Riverside Players, and I remember thinking that it was really a cool play, and I wanted to find out, maybe that's something we can talk about after we get off the air, if you're aware of that play and if that's available to be produced or not, because it seemed like he just... And I think it's probably a reflection of who Augie was as a person. It was just really interesting dialogue. You know, he seemed to have a really good understanding of how people talk. But and that's kind of the nature of his work too. Is
when right. You read, he was an observer.
Yeah, yeah.
He let listened. People talk and yeah. And he wrote it down, and yeah. Sometimes it was in books.
Yeah. Well, and you really can tell that with someone, as a person that does a lot of shows, with playwrights that understand how people really talk versus the people that don't get it, you know, and their language always sounds kind of stilted and, you know, doesn't have the life in it.
I had heard that there were some people that would literally turn around and walk away if he was heading towards them because
they didn't want to get
quoted. So
yeah, and he had no qualms about quoting you.
Oh no, he wasn't
directly.
Shy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, remember seeing pictures of him with his cape, and you know, he was one that liked to get decked out too for things as well. I had also had a familiarity with him through going to the UW-Madison theater program. He was friends with, who was the, there was a famous lighting designer, Gilbert Hemsley. I guess he and Gilbert were friends, and there were tales of Gilbert and Augie getting together in Gilbert's paneled station wagon or whatnot and just going on these, you know, adventures together. This sounds like that makes sense when you see the pictures of him with his cape and his top hat on and whatnot. So he obviously has had a big impact on the community in a lot of ways.
Yes, he has.
Which is part of what your organization, I was looking at your website with, you actually have an open house coming up this weekend, is that right?
Yes, that's
so,
correct.
Which is another opportunity for people to kind of get to know more about Augie Dearless' work if they're not familiar with it already. What sorts of things would people expect to find at the Dearless Society?
Well, you know, one of the things that I noticed going to those meetings is the way it was set up. The building was set up, and it just didn't seem to make any sense. So recently, we've made a lot of changes in trying to make it more interpretive for people to better understand August Derleth. We've got a lot of memorabilia that people would like to see. Matter of fact, there's a letter that one of our members just uncovered. It was a letter that August Derleth wrote to President Roosevelt, trying to stop the construction of the hedge powder plant.
Sure.
Because of what it would do to this area.
Okay.
And so that's one of those things that we would like to put on display so people can see.
Sure.
A lot of the things that he wrote are rare, and we would like people to see those and get acquainted with it.
Okay. So there are pieces that are actually on display in cabinets, or are they available for people to actually just page through if they want to?
Look through a lot of the things. We also have his friend Hugo. A lot of his, the man was a master carpenter and furniture maker, and we've got a lot of his pieces down there that were in the harness shop on Water Street. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really.
That was a big hangout for August. Was that harness shop?
Which is now Laystra's, isn't it? Or is that the same? No, that's
no.
A different place.
No, the harness shop is next to the post office.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, that building.
Okay.
And so we've got a lot of those things in there.
Is that the one that's being renovated now?
Yep,
they just put up on blocks.
Being renovated. Yep.
Okay. So and, are they turning, restoring it back to old, or is it a new business altogether?
It's
new
business altogether.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, August Derleth wrote children's books. A lot of people don't even know that.
Yeah.
He wrote 10-volume children's books based on the life of Stephen Sim, which was himself and his friend Hugo. And, I mean, they talk about, you know, the stories. The Ghost of Black Hawk Island takes place up by the Wisconsin Dells before it was the Wisconsin Dells in it. And,
wasn't he friends with people like Lovecraft? And I mean, there were, because the publishing company that he had too, there was a group of people that are really kind of iconic American writers and in several different fields. Like Lovecraft was more of a science fiction horror writer, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I may know that name from some of the science fiction geeky stuff that I've gotten into in the
past. As a matter of fact.
Oh, here we go. We've got some data.
This fall, October 24th, leading up to Halloween, the Bartell Theater is going to do spectacular, Rats in the Wall, something that was done by August Derleth, and it has to do with Lovecraft's short stories.
Okay.
And they're going to have, that's going to be one of the things that they're going to have at the Bartell Theater.
Okay.
Whatever money that they're going to raise, this was nice, whatever money that they raise for that event, they're going to give half of it to the August Derleth Society.
Wonderful.
Which,
wonderful.
Which makes us happy.
Wonderful.
Something else happened this past weekend. My wife and I went to Prairie du Chien.
Okay.
I always wanted to go to Villa Louie.
Oh, my wife was planning
to go. So we go to Villa Louie, and I go to get the tickets, and I'm talking to the lady at the counter, and behind her, there's a wall of books, and it's Jerry Apps books. And I said, do you ever carry August Derleth books? And she goes, what? Yes, we carry August Derleth books. Matter of fact, we need August Derleth books. What do you know about August Derleth? And I says, well, I just happen to be the president of the August Derleth Society. So yesterday I went a box. I sold them over $400 worth of books.
Mm-hmm.
And they particularly want Bright Journey and okay. The House on the Mound,
okay.
Both based on August Derleth did on,
sure.
on the Villa Louie.
Okay.
And she said the last time we had them, all those books sold in less than a week.
Wow.
So she says, you got to give me a list of how many you have.
Okay.
So that we can keep up on it.
So, and that's different now, too, because there was a publishing company that kind of had all the rights to, or most of the rights to, August Derleth's works. Is that still the case? I mean, are there ways to publish more copies if you exhaust your supply?
Yeah, we can publish more.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, April.
We have a contract with April giving us rights to publish any of his works.
Okay. So you don't have to worry about them ever running out, really. It's just, okay.
Yeah.
And then do you have the, like if we were trying to produce his play, is there rights to be able to get the rights to do that, essentially? Okay.
Yes.
Excellent. So we can see a resurgence here of some, because there's some really cool stuff there.
Yeah.
So April, tell me more about, what is your function now,
Julie.
With Julie? I'm sorry, Julie. I'm thinking April, right? You know, you got to say that name, right? Thank you, Julie. Julie, you're the secretary?
I am the secretary and the executive secretary for the Derleth Society.
So you have to know everything that happened at every meeting since the past 20 years.
Right.
Oh, that's not hard, right? So
you get it down pretty fast.
Well, you kind of have to when it's your job, don't you?
Yes.
So are there things that you've seen happen over the past 20 years that you think are kind of notable in terms of how the society has developed or changes that have happened? I'm leading it with obviously the radio show that's coming up too, but what sorts of things have you seen over that time from the kind of people that are attracted to the Derleth Society? And
well, the number of people that are interested in Derleth is varied.
Okay.
I mean, it can be anybody for anything. Of course, like H.P. Lovecraft, that brings in even a new generation of people because he's really hot right now.
Yeah.
And we just, you just never know who's going to walk through the door and what they're interested in.
Are there, so I would think then there's all kinds of personalities of people. He speaks to a bunch of different people, essentially, that if you tried to say, this is a Derleth reader.
Right. Yeah. Well, he has all kinds of different genres, too, it can be anything. You know, people that like history, he's got that, or what's called eerie books.
Right.
You know, I mean, he was into everything.
Right.
And it's just amazing that he even had time.
Well, that's, I think one of the things I remember in reading his Walden West and the professor making the comment of that he's one of very few authors that are able to cross genres that way and do it with just really finesse, you know, because oftentimes you can be really good at Westerns, you know, but really horrible at horror stories. But he was kind of a multifaceted, just interested in everything. So that passion for learning, observing, doing, pulling things out of stuff, that kind of shows up in all of his stuff, doesn't it?
That's right.
So, well, we have to take another quick break. We'll come back and let's make sure we hit on the events that are coming up in the near future. And I'm going to talk a little bit about community stuff going on around here, too. But my guests this morning are Mitch Meyer and Julie. Thank you very much, Rolke. So, goodness gracious. I need more coffee. You got to forgive me. I only had one cup before we went on the air today, and I'm at least a 3-cup guy. So, but don't go anywhere, folks. We've got more to come here right after this. Quick word from our sponsors here on 99.7 FM, WRPQ Radio in Baraboosa Prairie.
Summer is warm weather, the great outdoors, and some common health ailments. These can include sunburn, poison ivy, tick and insect bites, bee stings, sinus, pink eye, earaches, and sore throats. When illness strikes, see the Prairie Express Clinic at 112 Helen Street in Sauk City. Prairie Express is a walk-in clinic providing the best possible care for patients ages 12 months and up. Prairie Express Clinic offers convenient hours of 9 to 7 Mondays, 1 to 7 Tuesday through Thursday, and Fridays 9 to 4. Prairie Express Clinic, dedicated to caring for the community the past 60 years.
The almost unearthly luster of pearls has always been prized and well-loved as a gift. Sophie's Fine Jewelry in Baraboo has shimmering pearls and earrings, pearls in pins, pearls in necklaces and pendants, pearls with price tags as varied as the selection. Pearls with their mysterious glow add a translucent beauty to the woman who wears them. When you give a gift of pearls, she'll love them as much as she'll love you. Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gifts, Highway 12 in the Baraboo Mini Mall.
DeMars Plumbing, since 1982, is the plumbing company to turn to for quality design, installation, maintenance, and repair of residential and business plumbing systems. DeMars Plumbing specializes in plumbing fixtures and water heaters, septic systems, private water well systems, radiant in-floor heating, and excavating and trucking needs. DeMars Plumbing, located just west of Sauk Prairie. They're open weekdays 7 to 5. Call 608-544-4471. Online at DemarsPlumbing.com.
And we're back here at Mornings at McFarland's. We were just talking as we were off the air about the impact of an organization like Augie Dearlith. Has been, the society has really grown significantly just because of things like the internet, where, you know, you're telling some stories about the kind of contacts that you've had from people from some of Augie's work on talking about personalities that actually you were related to one of them, right, Julie?
Right.
Don't underestimate the power of the written word, you know, nor should you estimate the audience that you might reach in today's world, right? Mm-hmm. You're getting calls from Denmark or whatnot before we went on the air, right? Or was it Norway?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm getting emails from people from Germany and that want to join the Augustola Society.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's not like you have to be limited to your geographical area anymore. It really is a global community. So I hope our politicians can figure that out before we get too much further down the line here. Anyways, well, as we usually do at the end of each morning at McFarland's Edition, we talk a little bit about what's going on in the area. I'm just kind of looking here real quickly. There's apparently a sports booster golf outing. I didn't get to talk to those guys about their golf outing this year. Usually we do. But I know we've had the folks from the Sauk Prairie Sports Boosters on the show before. That is going on today, August 2nd, from 12:30 to 8 p.m. If you still have an opportunity, the cost for participants is $100, but it includes lunch, 18 holes of golf with a cart, raffles, a dinner, and just a day of supporting the Sauk Prairie athletes. So if you still have time, give them a call down there, see if they, or if you want to just go for the dinner tonight, I think it's $25 a plate. So maybe that's something you could still take part of. But I apologize to the Booster Club. I usually get on top of those things ahead of time, and we didn't this time. So we're going to have to do better next time. But then tomorrow, of course, the Pine Travelers duo is playing at the Woodshed Ale House again. They are a original music group that combines the gritty Americana of outlaw country folk and bluegrass with old school funk rave ups and roots rock and roll. That sounds like goulash, doesn't it, to you, Mitch?
There you go.
Does sound like a goulash. So gritty Americana of outlaw country folk and bluegrass with old school funk rave ups and roots rock and roll. I kind of want to go to that just to hear what the heck does that sound like, because it could be cool.
Sounds like the ingredients to something.
Yeah. What's that thing? A goat rodeo. Kind of sounds like a goat rodeo. So anyways, then we also have going on this weekend, which is actually kind of nice because it's right next door to you. The Dearlith Park is the Relay for Life for Sauk Prairie. So Jeff Bowl and Camilla Jackson were on the show a number of weeks ago, but they're this event this year. Is a whole kind of new thing. They're really trying to revitalize the whole event. It's moving from the high school grounds, which it has been at for years, down to Dearlith Park. But it is an opportunity to both celebrate survivors and the courage that they've inspired people with, as well as folks that are just facing a cancer diagnosis. And you know, the being around people that have dealt with that as part of their life. So go on down there from 5 p.m. until 11 p.m. Things, all kinds of activities will be going on. There's an opening ceremony and kickoff at 6 p.m. Please, and I can't think of anybody these days who isn't somehow touched by cancer. So it's a great opportunity to support families and people that are trying to deal with the effects of that disease. So, and then there's also Sauk County Humane Society has an event going on Saturday. This is the weekend where you can adopt dogs, cats and dogs at up at Sauk Prairie Small Animal Clinic. So if you're looking for a dog or a best friend for the next number of years, that's a great opportunity to meet somebody that you will fall in love with and take home with you. And everybody will be happy. Also, Flavors of Sauk Prairie is going on this weekend. Big weekend. Hot dogs, chips, lemonade, popcorn. There's a food competition from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. and you can vote for your favorite with cash or check. That's taking place at Graceway Church up on 13th and Lincoln. Augie Dearless Society has an event going on Saturday as well, right? We were talking about that. Again, what's the time frame for it? I don't think we ever talked about that.
The time for the open house, which is we just opened the doors and okay. people can come in and take a look, is 11 to 2.
Okay. Any admission charge or anything? It's just come
nope.
and browse.
Nope.
Just come
anybody
and get familiar.
Anybody that's interested.
But beware anyone that approaches you and asks you to take out an ad in the newsletter, right?
Yeah, right.
So, well, maybe don't beware them, but be aware. Yeah. Be aware of what could be going on. So anyways, well, and that's not a bad thing. You could be a member of a lot worse things, let me tell you. Anyways, and then also Whitwin concerts. There's another concert going on this weekend. I have to tell my wife that because she was worried that we had missed the last opportunity last week, but this week it's the Mark Croft Band. Mark is a singer, songwriter, and acoustic guitarist with roots, pop, and Americana song styling. So here we go again with roots and Americana. So we can match them up with the folks at Woodshed Ale House and see how they what kind of cross comparisons there are in their genres. And boy, you know, there's also the movie in the ballpark this weekend. Oh my gosh, that's been going on for a couple of years now. I think this is either the second or third year at the JC Park, Chuck Hall Memorial Field, from 7 p.m. until 11 p.m. Great opportunity for the family to get together and enjoy the Batman Lego movie. So fun movie. So my son's a big Batman freak, and I think we had every Batman Lego thing in the world when he was growing up. But the movie is free. They will have concessions available there. So a great thing to do Saturday afternoon after you've gone to the Dearless Society and after you've, of course, gone to the Relay for Life on Friday. So don't miss. As you can tell, there's a lot of great living going on in Sauk Prairie. Again, thank you to my guests this morning, Mitch. Always a pleasure to talk with you. It's just, you're one of those guys that I think we could sit around and talk for many, many hours and not realize how much time has gone by. So you have great stories to tell. I we're going to have you back just to talk more stories. And maybe we could give some chef tips to people, right? Sure. And some things they should be prepared or things they might want to experiment with, right? So I don't know how that works on the radio because you can't really show people how
One of the things I would like to do at the August Dearless Center is have a dinner every once in a while.
Oh, sure.
A gourmet meal that I'll bring in.
Okay.
And as a fundraiser.
Sure.
So you know, something like the political parties do, you know, $54,000 a plate, that type of thing.
Yeah, that'll go over real well. I'll put the McFarlanes down for four. So, all right. And Julie, thank you so much for joining us, too.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for not hitting me when I mispronounced your name as being something other than it completely is. But, you know, everybody makes mistakes, right? So, yeah. Anyway, well, thanks both of you for just sharing all your information and the backgrounds. It's great to get to talk to you, Julie.
Great.
Now,
thank you.
Now I do know you. When I see you, I'll be able to say, hey, April, how is it? Okay. And Mitch, again, take care. Thanks for joining us this morning here on Mornings at McFarland's. Stay tuned because right after this show, of course, we have a great radio program. David Schweitzer, who David is going to be on the show next week. You know, he and I actually are able to finally link up. We're going to do a show on Thursday of next week. But there's been this wonderful show called Dearless Chapter a Week that's been on the air since May 31st following our show. And David just does a wonderful job of reading and bringing Augie's words to life. So if you're looking for something else to do for the next 15-20 minutes, stay right here on WRPQ Radio 99.7 FM and you will hear great things. Take care, all. See you next week.
Mornings at McFarland's with host Raul LaBreche is produced live at our 99.7 FM studio at McFarland's in Sauk City. Listen again next Wednesday at 8:05 for another edition of Mornings at McFarland's. Today's show is presented by Prairie Clinic, Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gift Shop, and DeMar's Plumbing.